Amen. The passage I want to take us to on this Christmas night is a familiar one, perhaps even an expected one for us to turn to this evening. It's found in Luke chapter 2, the familiar story of the shepherds and the angels. I chose this passage for tonight for a couple of reasons. One reason I chose this passage is quite simple. Luke 2 verse 8 says, "And there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." And it's Christmas night, so I thought, what more fitting passage to look at this evening than this? But a second reason, and maybe a better reason, is because of how the passage ends. Now, we focus a lot on the middle of a passage, the high point of the angels appearing to the shepherds, but oftentimes kind of gloss over the end of this text. But at the end of this passage, we're told how various people respond to the birth of Christ. Responses that range everywhere from wonder to worship. And it's those responses that I mainly want to consider with you for a few moments tonight, and for this reason. As we bring another Christmas season and Christmas day to a close, this passage spurs us to consider how we should respond to all that we have seen and heard in the coming of Christ. For the sake of context, and because it's simply good to hear these words on Christmas Day, I want to read from Luke 2, beginning in verse 8. We'll read verses 8 through 20, but for the message, I'm going to focus particularly on verses 16 to 20, so just be mindful of that as we're reading the text tonight. I invite you to stand for the reading of God's holy word, if you're able. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And we hear these words. "In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word tonight, we pray that you would teach us from it. And as we set our gaze tonight upon Bethlehem and upon the birth of Christ, our Savior, we pray, Father, that you would that we would be moved to wonder and worship because of what we have seen and heard and what we have come to know of the significance of Christ coming into this world. And so meet us here tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Here in Luke 2, we see three responses to the news of Christ's birth. Technically, we see four, but at the beginning of the passage and the end of the passage, it's the response of the shepherds. And so I want to consider them at the end just as one response, because they have the last response in the text as well. And so the first response to the birth of Christ I want to consider with you tonight, we'll simply call this the hearers wondering. We're confronted with the hearers wondering. There's an interesting detail in verse 18 that maybe we sometimes overlook. Listen again to verses 16 to 18. "And they," that's the shepherds, "went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child." And then hear these words, "And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them." When the shepherds came to visit the baby Jesus and Joseph and Mary, there apparently were other people there who heard their report. Now, it's unclear who these hearers were or where it was that they came into contact with the shepherds. It's very possible that some neighbors living close by to that stable in that neighborhood in Bethlehem overheard the cries of a newborn baby and came out to see what had happened and came to visit this young couple and see if there was anything they needed. And so perhaps there were people gathered there when the shepherds arrived. Or perhaps the shepherds, when they ran into Bethlehem, just began going door to door because they didn't know where to look and just began knocking on doors. "Hey, have you seen, do you know of a newborn baby? Do you know where we could find the father and the mother?" And at that moment, maybe they began to tell the story of what they'd seen out in the fields and the message of the angels. Whoever these people were, and wherever it was that the shepherds found them, Luke tells us that they heard and wondered at what the shepherds said. That's interesting because wonder is a common response to Christ in the Gospels. We see it all over the place in the Gospels. Most of the time, however, wonder describes the kind of wonder and amazement that stops short of faith. It's wonder and amazement at the things that Jesus does, but not necessarily belief in Jesus. We might call it, in fact, mere wonder. A kind of amazement, but without faith. And we see this response often in the Gospels. We see it in the crowds in response to Jesus' miracles. The same word that Luke uses here in Luke 2, Matthew uses in his Gospel in Matthew chapter 9 in the description of this miracle. Listen to these verses. "As they were going away, behold, the demon-oppressed man who was mute and was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke, and the crowds marveled." They wondered. They were amazed, saying, "Never was anything like this seen in Israel." They had a wonder, but it was a mere wonder. And so it was at Christ's birth. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, very pointedly says of verse 18 in Luke 2, he says, "They wondered, but never inquired any further about the Savior, their duty to him, or advantages by him, but let the thing drop as a 9 days wonder." And then he adds, "Oh, the amazing stupidity of the men of that generation, who failed to inquire further about what all of this meant." Sadly, mere wonder is prevalent every year during the Christmas season, probably from the very first Christmas. There's this prevalence of what we might call mere wonder. I was thinking about it this week. How many times do you think a song like Silent Night has been heard, not just by believers, but by all people over the last month? Maybe on TV, on a television program, maybe on the radio, maybe in the mall as people are shopping. I have no way to prove this. This is not a scientific survey, but I would guess that there have been millions of people in this country who have not only heard the words to Silent Night over the last month, but sometime during this Christmas season have even sung the words of Silent Night. And yet those same people have not even given 2 seconds thought to what that song is really about. Here's just one example of this kind of mere wonder. I came across a website for a jazz radio station out of Philadelphia that a year ago posted this story, an article titled, "The Story Behind the Beloved Christmas Carol, Silent Night." And I want you to just listen to their very brief description about what the theme of Silent Night is about, what the song, this carol is about. Listen to what they say. "Silent Night is about a calm and bright silent night and the wonder of a tender and mild newborn child. Silent Night is just a song about the wonder of a newborn child." Now, is that not like the biggest understatement of the year? Is that what Silent Night is about, just the mere wonder of childbirth? And sadly, for many people, that's all the birth of Christ is. It's a wonderful story. Maybe a story that stirs our emotions, but nothing more. You see, mere wonder is short-sighted. And surely the report of the shepherds that night was wonderful news. It was amazing news. But how tragic that the hearers' wonder did not lead them to inquire further about the meaning of it all. Friends, when heaven makes an announcement as big as this one, when angel after angel appears on the scene to make known something that God is doing, a right response needs to be more than to say, "Well, that was interesting. What's for dinner tonight?" Right? That's why we need to see a second response. The wonder in and of itself is not a bad thing. It's a good starting place, but it can't end there. And so we need to pursue further and look at a second response that we find in this passage. A response to the birth of Christ that was also filled with wonder, but in her wonder, it caused her to look more intently upon God, to inquire further, to use Matthew Henry's words. And so secondly, let's consider what we see in Mary's response, in Mary's pondering over these things. Now, I think there's good reason for distinguishing the mere wonder of the hearers, again, whoever they were, from the wonder that characterized Mary in this passage. And that reason is because Luke himself seems to be making that contrast. Notice the contrast between verses 18 and 19. He says, "And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things." They wondered, but Mary treasured them up, pondering them in her heart. That's a very different response. Did Mary, like the hearers and like the shepherds, wonder at what all of this could mean? Absolutely. Probably more than anybody else, Mary was filled with questions. She had no idea at this point what Jesus' life would be like. Nor could she at this point have possibly conceived of how his life would end. But Luke gives a very different picture of Mary's wondering. It was unlike the wondering of the crowds or the people of Bethlehem. For he tells us that she did two things in her wonder. First, she treasured up what she heard. Now, it's a beautiful statement, and one that we might expect from a new mother. What woman does not feel an overwhelming sense of joy when they hold their newborn baby for the first time? It's a moment to treasure. It's that picture is one that goes in the baby book. But that's not exactly what Luke means here. It's not just the wonder of childbirth, the wonder of a newborn baby. The word he uses here for treasure up literally means to keep safe or to preserve. So what did Mary treasure up? What did she keep safe in her mind and heart? What did she preserve in her mind and heart? Most certainly what she was treasuring up was everything that had happened up to this point. She was treasuring up the appearance of the angel to her and the words that the angel spoke. She was treasuring up the message of the angel to Joseph. She treasured up in her mind and heart all that had happened with Elizabeth and Zechariah and the amazing things that the Lord was doing in their life. And now she treasured up the message of these lowly shepherds, whom apparently God had revealed himself to through the angels and spoken to. And they brought this incredible message to her, and she treasured all of these things up, storing them in her mind and heart. Again, she didn't fully comprehend what it all meant, but she kept these things safe. She did not let the wonder of these things fade away from her memory, but continued to think upon them. And that's the second thing that she did. She treasured up and she pondered them in her heart. The word ponder means to think seriously about something, or even to converse about something. Have you ever been facing an important decision or an important matter in life, and you find yourself almost playing out conversations in your mind? You might even be thinking about it so much that you begin to talk out loud, like imagining yourself in the situation that you need to deal with, and how a conversation might go, what you might say, what somebody else might say. Almost talking out loud. That's almost the sense we get here about Mary. She weighed all of these things out. She conversed about them. Surely she spoke with Joseph about them. She prayed about them. She meditated on them in her mind, turning all of these amazing things around over and over and over. Mary's pondering included wonder, but it was more than mere wonder. It's what Charles Spurgeon referred to as a holy wonder. That is, a wonder that was fueled by faith and a wonder that led her to turn her thoughts toward God as she treasured up these things and pondered these things in her heart and mind. In a sermon on this very passage, Spurgeon urged Christians not to settle for mere wonder, but like Mary, to strive for holy wonder. I love this quote. Listen to these words. Spurgeon says, "They who see human wonders a few times at last cease to be astonished. Human wonders eventually fall short. The noblest pile that architect ever raised at last fails to impress the onlooker. But not so this marvelous temple of incarnate deity. The more we look, the more we are astonished. the more we become accustomed to it, the more we have a sense of its surpassing splendor of love and grace. And then he says this, there is more of God, let us say, to be seen in the manger and the cross than in all the sparkling stars above, the rolling deep below, the towering mountain, the teeming valleys, the abodes of life, or the abyss of death. Let us then spend some choice hours of this festive season in holy wonder, such as will produce gratitude, worship, love, and confidence. I think Spurgeon was right. What are the two biggest celebrations on the Christian calendar? What two come to mind? Christmas and Easter. Why? Because the more we look into the manger, and the more we look upon the cross and to the empty tomb, the more we stand in holy wonder of our God. The more we're moved to love and gratitude and worship as we ponder the amazing reality of it all. God did this for me. He came to this earth for me, for you. He went to the cross for us. How amazing is that? God came for us. And so, dear friends, don't let this night pass without stopping and pondering and treasuring up what all of this means. It was not just a child in that manger, but it was God become flesh, who came to save us from death and hell. And when we ponder the reality of that, we can easily see why the shepherd's response is also a right and fitting response to the message of Christ's birth. For the third response we see in this passage is the shepherd's rejoicing. Listen again to verse 20. The shepherds returned, they entered into Jerusalem, telling everybody about what they had heard. And then we read these words in verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Now, what's key for us to see here are the grounds or the reason for their glorifying and praising God. And Luke is giving us a very important clue here as to why we can share in the shepherds' rejoicing. Why did they glorify God and praise God as they left Bethlehem? They left Bethlehem praising God not only because of the amazing things that they had seen and heard, because they saw some amazing things, didn't they? But also, and here's the key phrase, because what they saw and heard was exactly as it had been told them. In other words, what they saw and heard lined up with the Word of God. It lined up with what the Lord had told them through the angels. The Word of God is true on its own. It doesn't need to be proven. But what they saw and what they heard bore witness to the truthfulness of what God had spoken. It was evidence to them that God's word was indeed true. And thus they could trust that all God said, therefore, would also prove to be true as well. And so when the angels say that this child born to you this day is going to be the Savior of his people, they knew they could trust it. He is Christ the Lord. They could trust those words. He would indeed be the Savior of His people. And as incredible as it was for them to hear, this little newborn baby was indeed the Christ, the Anointed One, the Lord of glory, who came to redeem His people. And what the shepherds heard and what they saw in person, we now get to see and hear through the written Word of God. We see and hear what the prophets foresaw and what they said would come to pass. We can see and hear now what the prophets said has come to pass in the coming of Christ, just as it was told. We've been thinking about the prophecies over the last two Sunday mornings. Amazing prophecies about the birth of Christ. And we can look back and we see and hear that it is just as we have been told. We look to the Word of God and we see and hear the testimony of the apostles that Christ truly is the Son of God, just as He said He was. We listen to the testimony of the apostles that Jesus indeed has risen again, just as He said He would. Again, I find Spurgeon's insights here to be very encouraging. For he takes it a step further and applies these words to our own lives, asking a question. He says this: have you not found the gospel in yourselves to be just what the Bible said it would be? Jesus said He would give you grace. Have you not had it? He promised you rest. Have you not received it? He said that you should have joy and comfort and life through believing in Him. Have you not had all these things? Are not His ways ways of pleasantness and His paths paths of peace? Surely what we have seen keeps pace with what we have heard. Therefore, let us glorify and praise God for what He has done. That's a great statement. People of God, on this Christmas night, let me ask you to consider this thought, this question. Have you not found the gospel to be all that God said it would be? In the midst of the weariness of this world, at times we can lose sight of this. Sometimes our rejoicing in Christ becomes muted because of the stress, the anxiety, and the sorrows we face in life. And so, friends, we need to take our cue tonight from the shepherds and remember that what we have come to see and hear of Christ in the gospel is absolutely true. And it has all been just as we have been told. And so what I'm asking you to do tonight, and what our passage is calling us to do this evening, is to take a moment and ponder with holy wonder what God has done for us in the coming of Christ. Rejoicing that what we have seen and heard is just as it was told to us. As tomorrow we turn the page on another Christmas season, may we be like the shepherds as we return to our daily lives, as we return to our living, that we may do so glorifying and praising our God for all that we have seen and heard, and that it was all, has all been just as it was told to us. Lots of reason for hope, lots of reason for joy, lots of reason for faith and trust in the Word of God, because God has come to us in flesh. Let's rejoice in that good news tonight. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we bring this evening to a close, Father, what can we say? This news of Jesus coming is too wonderful for us to fully comprehend, even though it's a message we hear year after year, time after time. It's so familiar, and yet it is still so amazing. And so, Father, we pray that tonight we too would treasure up and ponder these things, that we would glorify and praise you because of all that you've done for us in Christ, and how time and time again you have proven yourself to be true. Time and time again, you've shown us that your words are trustworthy. Time and time again, we find that it is just as we have been told. And so, Father, we ask you for the grace to treasure up these things tonight, that we might truly worship you and give thanks to you, and that we might go back to our living with profound joy because of all that you have done for us in Christ. We pray that that rejoicing would begin even tonight. And so bless us this evening as we conclude this service together. We pray, Father, that you would be magnified in us and that we would share in the joy of the shepherds and Mary and Joseph and all who have come to know this glorious news. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.